This podcast is brought to you by Labyrinth Marketing. Hello and welcome to the Whole Marketeer podcast. Today's skill is a soft skill. It's leadership. Marketing is or becoming the function that leads the organisation, its long-term growth and commercial agenda. And therefore leadership, a soft skill once needed to lead the marketing team, has now to span cross-functionally across the whole organisation. Marketeers are also expecting so much more from their leaders. They're looking for their leaders to be visionary, inspirational, human and authentic. The skill of leadership cannot be overlooked. Today's guest is Catherine Whitten, CMO of Specsavers. Prior to joining Specsavers, she was CMO at Barclaycard and has risen through the marketing ranks at the likes of American Express and British Airways. Catherine and her team recently took a consumer suggestion to leverage the Barnard Gate debacle by launching an ad with the copy line, "You should have gone to Barnard Castle." For me, this is a great example of leadership and the skills needed by today's marketeers to act with bravery and pace with your insight. So not only listen to your consumers, but to co-create with them. It also is a great example of integrity, as when submitting the recent award entry for this really effective campaign, she did so on behalf of her consumers, allowing them to take the credit of the effectiveness. Just simply legendary. So, Catherine, welcome to the Whole Marketeer podcast.
Thank you very much. Great to be here, Abby.
So I'm going to jump straight in with a big juicy question up front. What does leadership mean to you?
You know, it almost feels like a trick question because there are just so many definitions if you're looking at it from an academic point of view. I think I'll start by kind of, I suppose, saying what it's not to me. Okay. And what it isn't is management. And, you know, it's interesting in business that we sometimes use those words leadership and management interchangeably. You know, for me, you manage a production line or a process, and certainly that's what leadership is not. I think the other thing about leadership is sometimes people think leadership is associated to authority or seniority. And in my mind, it's not. I think if you have a position of authority or seniority, there is a greater expectation on you of leadership. But when I really ask myself what leadership is, I kind of turn it around to say that leadership is the purpose of creating followership. And I think that is really, really critical because it focuses on actually what you're trying to achieve. And to create followership, in the simplest terms, I think it is about influencing individuals, groups, to a common goal, aspiration, or purpose. I think influencing really requires great leadership that creates the followership to have insight and understanding of who you are leading, to really have empathy of people's needs and motivations. And I think the influencing to the purpose is also really critical for leadership, because I think to lead, you have to have such clarity of vision to take people on a journey with you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think for me, with the visionary is definitely what's been requested by marketers and their leaders, and also vital. You know, as I was saying in the introduction, it's, you know, as marketers, we need to lead the commercial agenda. Therefore, you need to be able to sit back and take the time to think about the vision and where you want to take the organization and feel it so palpably, if you will, that, you know, you can see it and what the end result looks like with such clarity that when you share that with others, they feel emotionally attached to it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think, you know, one of the component parts of that is consistency. Because I think sometimes leaders think they've done the job if they've set out a vision or expectation at the beginning, but the continual reminder and what I call label and linking back to it. So to really make sure that that consistency is in place, because that is how you change people's attitudes and behaviors, by continually reinforcing it.
And is that something that you've experienced yourself and thought, yeah, this is really working as my method as leading my marketing teams?
I think there are three things probably. You know, I've been in business for a long time, so I think the practice is important. I've been incredibly fortunate through my career to have been led by some really inspiring people. And actually, not just in my career, but I think you also, when you think about leadership, really need to broaden your horizons about what great leadership looks like, whether that be political, whether that be religious, whether that be commercial, etc. And I have made mistakes along the way. So there are definitely, you know, two times in my career at least that I look back and I kind of treated my responsibility of leadership maybe academically, but I failed to take people on a journey with me, expecting people to be able to decipher the vision, to be able to adapt themselves to it, and maybe not support them as much as I could have along the way. And, you know, and we're human. One of the most powerful ways to learn is through making mistakes.
I love that you said that because, you know, being human is so important. I was on an earlier podcast with Peter Docker and he was talking about the time when he was landing a plane and he should have circled back round and not landed the plane. And he turned round to his team when he had landed and said, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that and I won't do it again." And I think having that vulnerability and honesty as a human to say that is also inspirational, is also what people are kind of looking for the authenticity.
Yeah. I mean, I often say to people at work, you know, one of the most courageous but confident things to say is either you don't know or you could have done it better. Because actually what we're looking for in our leaders is authenticity, but the humanity. Mm. Because if that's not there, then actually to really, for people to connect with you and for them to believe that you really understand them becomes more challenging.
Yeah, the person behind the job title.
Absolutely.
So why do you think it's so important? And you know, you said it, not just in management, why do you think it's so important to have this leadership skill in marketing today?
I mean, it's marketing, but I think it's just generally, you know, in business. Mm. I think there are two things. There's something very, very pertinent about the role of leadership, as in today, in terms of what the world has gone through, which is seismic change. And the role of leadership in taking people through change, any form of change, is so critical because that's what people are looking for. They want to create a bedrock of trust. They want to believe that there is a way forward. And you know, if I think about four things that I think us as individuals, so forget job titles, forget organizations or departments, have faced into to a greater or lesser degree over the last 100 odd days, we've experienced fear. We've all done it in our own way. But as the world became topsy-turvy and the pandemic took a grip, the uncertainty created levels of fear. We've had to question what freedom means to us. So our ability to go about our lives, which again has been, you know, tremendously unsettling. And then at the more kind of, I suppose, powerful end, we've questioned mortality and how we've dealt with that. And we've questioned, and more so now than ever, actually, during the pandemic, morality. What is the right thing to do? What do our behaviors suggest? What's the new norm of cultural norms? So all that together creates, on a personal level, a huge amount of change. And then if you take that into the importance of leadership through change in marketing, one of the reasons, you know, I've been a serial marketer for most of my career, and what still inspires me about it is because the role of marketing and the actual practice of marketing is constantly changing. And I think more so than ever. So if you've kind of got this personal change that we're looking at, you're looking at business change because, you know, most businesses probably, you know, we had an incredibly well-documented and constructive annual plan that literally stopped overnight. And we had to change up, you know, literally within hours to a new way of operating. And as businesses come through the crisis into recovery and to rebuild, there's going to be continual change of the role of marketing. Because our consumer requirements are going to change, our commercial requirements are going to change. So change is the catalyst of why leadership at the moment is so, so critical. Whether you're the marketing director or you're leading a family or a community or anything. If leadership had to step up, it's now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think it's rightly or wrongly it's forced many, many organisations to think about that person behind the brand or business. You know, what's their childcare situation? Who are they having to look after? Where are they based? What do they need in order to still be able to work, if work at all, during this time? And as you say, the marketer's role is always changing. Now you're going through a moment of change, and we know on the other side of it, there'll be change again. So resilience has to be absolutely intrinsic, I guess, in those people.
Yeah. And do you know what I've seen at Specsavers, across the whole of Specsavers, particularly our in-store colleagues who remained in store during the pandemic and lockdown to support people with urgent or essential eye and hearing care. The resilience right the way through to the marketing team, people who have run towards the problem, it has cast a new light for me on many of our colleagues, because I just saw a level of resilience that was breathtaking.
That's so inspiring. Mm-hmm. And thinking about, as a CMO, you've been leading your team and the business this time of change, mm-hmm. but also what is it going to look like on the other side? What do you think your biggest challenges you face are?
It's a really good question. I think that the leadership challenge will be taking people through this change. And I often refer to taking people through change as having to kind of retrain muscle memory. We unfortunately have been commercially impacted by the pandemic. We operate in 10 markets around the world. We have seen good recovery as different markets are coming out of lockdown, but we have been left with a significant commercial deficit. It's meant that at a strategic level in the organization that we have had to reconsider our plans. We've curtailed some of the bigger programs of capital investment we had a longer term framework of growth. We've retracted to a short term framework, which has meant that we have had to look at people in our organization. We've had a fairly significant redundancy program in place across our support offices. So the very fact that our plans are different, our colleagues and structures are going to be different. The biggest challenge is helping and inspiring the team to refocus into a shorter term horizon and to learn to work in different ways, because we will not and cannot achieve our objectives if we just continue to work in the way we used to. So I find myself actually on a daily basis having to remind myself that I have to work in a different way as well. Mm. And that doesn't happen overnight. So I think, you know, helping the organization reframe its objectives and to help people retrain that memory muscle to find new ways of working, I think is going to be really, really critical. I think, you know, if I take the pandemic and put that to one side, they're hard to do. The biggest challenge from a marketing perspective, I think, is taking a fairly traditional marketing organization that I inherited when I arrived at Specsavers and really trying to recast it into some three, I think, very distinct typologies that need to exist in marketing. We obviously need our strategists. We need our storytellers, and that's where you break down the silos of traditional marketing and channel mix into being content first and then finding ways to distribute through your channels. And that's been a massive change that we are continuing to go through. And then obviously the scientists, the third breed that we need in marketing. I think that recasting those roles and reorganizing people against these three areas is quite a challenge. We're absolutely on the road, but it's certainly not finished. I think that the third thing I would say in terms of a challenge, and I think this is agnostic, I think, to sector or business, is to be part of the thinking and influencing around what I call the boundaries of marketing. I think if, you know, I said I've been marketing for a long time, and what's really exciting to me actually, you know, in the world today is the questioning of the role of marketing versus being passive in that, obviously being very active in that discussion as being a CMO, to where the blended edges of marketing happen. So, you know, refocusing, recasting relationships, which 5, 10 years ago, you'd never think that your best friend was going to be head of technology.
So
really understanding the blending between customer experience and communications and engagement, and really understanding the purpose and the contribution of marketing in its broader sense. So the question you asked was a challenge, but I don't see it as a challenge as a difficult thing. It's almost like the opportunities, I suppose.
Yeah, so the opportunity of how you reframe the marketing within the organization so that it works cross-functionally across the wider organization.
Absolutely, and almost, and it feels slightly odd to say, but I kind of just wonder whether marketing generally in the world needs a rebrand, because I think it feels too limiting as a definition to me.
It does. I'm just thinking about where we are now versus the last 20 years. So 20 years ago, you know, we were the support function to a sales, production, R&D. You know, someone else came up with that product and kind of arrived at our door and said, okay, can you please sell this now? To where we are now, where we are insight-based, we have the communication and the voice of the customer, the consumer, what they're looking for. We are also looking at the long-term direction of the business and what that's going to commercially deliver. So it's not just the market anymore. You know, if that's the term of marketeers, we're not there just to sell and communicate. We're there to set the direction and be the voice of the consumer and bring everything, you know, aligned to that. And that's a massive shift, depending on where any organization is on that journey. Where would you say Specsavers is? Would you say that you're marketing-led or?
Absolutely consumer-led. Before I joined the company, I actually knew very little about it. As I kind of explored the opportunity, I was taken aback, I suppose, about the heritage of the brand. So the brand was created 35 years ago by a married couple called Doug and Mary Perkins. They were both optometrists, and they created Specsavers because they believed that the country needed and deserved better. So if you cast your mind back 35 years, if you were a glasses wearer, you'd go to a local optician, they'd open the front door, they'd take you through to be tested. They'd be the people who would then, you know, dispense your, you know, select your frames and everything. But, and literally they'd close the door behind them. But in the context of that, most people and those who are older who have been glasses wearers for a long time will remember those kind of like sorry days where you had four pairs of NHS frames you could choose from, pink ones, blue ones. And again, Doug and Mary thought that the world needed better. So the idea of choice is something they introduced, but they also demanded that everyone should have access to this. And that was around a price point and value. And they have been maniacal about that till today. And they still are actually very heavily involved in the business and are the other, I suppose, the conscience of the business to say we are here to make a positive difference to the lives of all, young, poor, old, rich, it doesn't matter. A really democratic cry. But they've also been and continue to be incredibly passionate about being what I call marketing and brand driven. Absolutely passionate about the last thing you do in a recessionary environment is to cut your marketing spend. You actually, this is the time where you have to over communicate to create certainty to your customers and to take advantage of opportunity. So being a privately owned company, they can absolutely take, you know, we can make those decisions. We're not having to make shorter term shareholder decisions, which we all know, you know, and I've worked most of my career in companies like that, where, you know, if the short-term horizon doesn't look good, what are the three things that get cut?
Yeah.
People, travel, and marketing. So we actually have a completely reverse philosophy around the time where marketing needs to work its hardest to make sure that customers are reassured and that the trust is maintained in the brand, and to take opportunity where people, particularly as we head into a recessionary environment, will be making choices about what they buy and where they buy from.
That's really reassuring to hear that you are, you know, continuing to invest or over-invest during this time. At the beginning of lockdown, I was listening to Mark Ritson's studies of previous kind of, not pandemics, obviously, but other
crisis.
things that have happened. And what has clearly come out is that when you continue to invest, you do better on the other side, you know, versus your competition, hanging on to your consumers and so on.
Abby, I think one of the things which, you know, and I would challenge people who are listening to this is one of the reasons I think many organizations see the short-term opportunity to pull the investment lever to or fro for marketing. It's because we as marketing practitioners may not historically have done a good enough job of demonstrating value to the broader organization.
Which just comes back to your storytelling piece, yeah. Doesn't it? It's storytelling to tell the emotive story to consumers. It's also storytelling internally so that they understand the benefit of the investment made in marketing and the impact that has, so that, as you say, we can rebrand marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So we spoke about the skills and characteristics. Leadership's less about leading and more about creating a followership. It's also about being human, doing morally what's right. It's about inspiring and being a visionary. Is there anything else you think that is essential to being a leader in the world of marketing today?
I think one of the things that is really critical today and hypercritical based on the global events of today, and we've talked about change as well, is I think leadership is so important to create the right environment and support and motivation for colleagues to take risks. Mm. And I know it's a pretty kind of West Coast concept. It's probably more prevalent in America, but this kind of whole corporate ownership of failure and that it's good to fail. But we can all kind of talk about that, because if we don't fail, we don't learn. If we don't learn, we don't innovate. So risk taking is really important. And you could say that to people, like, you know, you've got to take risks, you've got to change things up, you've got to experiment. But you have to, as a leader, give people permission to do that and make them feel really, really certain and comfortable that as long as the risks are calculated, it's not going to be detrimental. And that's quite a different approach in many organizations, where, you know, the F words isn't something you want to band around in the corridors. So I think one of the, you know, if leadership is about helping people through change, if it is about getting to a common aspiration and goal of betterment, I feel really strongly about this one, because I don't think we generally do a very good job of creating the right conditions for experimentation. And one of the biggest ones is the cushion that it's not going to be detrimental if you're associated to something that hasn't worked.
Yeah, that's so true. Have you got any kind of top tips for anyone that's trying to embed that test and learn, no mistake, as long as there's a learning culture?
I think it's about being just very open about it. And I think recognition is another leadership trait, which is really, really important. We don't probably do enough daily recognition, let alone, you know, seismic recognition. But the recognition should be about bravery. Mm. And I think, you know, in terms of that kind of, how do you create followership? If the aspiration that you're trying to influence people to is change, you need to explain that in order to change, we have to do things differently. In order to do things differently and find the best ways, we have to experiment. And if you experiment, you experiment successfully, it has to come with a level of risk, and risk is okay. And this whole kind of idea of, you know, failing fast, etc., it's about having that open narrative. It's about recognizing when people have been brave, and it's about giving people the kudos for them to be able to express what they learned from it, versus like, oh, we don't talk about that project because it didn't go so well. Mm. But actually giving people the recognition and the platform to talk about what they learned and how they improved or they stopped fast. So again, I think it's just bringing it into the culture and being very open about it and giving people the opportunity to talk about their own experiences.
That's great advice. Did you want to talk about the eight pillars, Catherine?
Yeah, I mean, Abby, you know, as we met on LinkedIn and we, you know, we started obviously kind of communicating. I think at the time I talked to you as we were exploring this podcast and talking about leadership, that because of what we're going through as an organization, a focus from more strategic long-term ambition to shorter-term recovery, taking people through change, and particularly people are going to be leaving our organization, unfortunately. We're going to have to recast our teams and ways of working. And there is something which is officially known as survivor syndrome. So people who are left in organizations when others leave through, you know, redundancy programs, etc., often productivity dips considerably directly afterwards because colleagues are feeling still they have a fear about their future, and particularly in a world today where this isn't going to be a linear path of coming out of the impact of the pandemic. So there's still underlying fears about their security, there's guilt and anger. So thinking about the what and the how, myself and my leadership team came together to say, right, what do we need to be really intentional in our leadership of helping our teams get through this change? And we created what we call the 8 pillars of leadership for marketing. And I'll run through them really quickly. Actually, we've covered quite a lot of them already in our conversation. I think the foundation of it is really about caring, guiding, and supporting the teams through the change curve. And it will be a curve because you're not going to get to your full productivity and motivation and everything from day one. The real importance of setting a motivating vision, very clear objectives, but really, really critically, every single member of the team needs to know what their role will ladder back up to the vision that we have organizationally. Or from a
brand
point of view.
That's such a preach moment.
What do you mean by that? All right,
yeah, just like, yeah, say it, sister. You know, I feel like I say that all the time. It's like everything you do needs to ladder back up to the vision that you're trying to do, and everyone has their personal understanding of their scope and their role, but all ladders up. I feel like I say it at least once a day.
Yeah, but it's so simple, but so often missed. Because I think sometimes we just expect people to put it together themselves. But, you know, every member of the team should absolutely, because that's the motivation of, you know, one of success. Everyone wants to feel a pride in the recovery of the business, and they want to know and be able to tell their friends and family, I did this and this is why I did it. So I think it's really important. I think because things are going to change, you know, the media landscape is going to change, consumer sentiment and motivation is going to change. I think as leaders, the constant, what I call look forward and look out to spot the emerging opportunities. You know, when a business is under stress and when individuals are under stress, it's very easy to become very myopic and to be inwardly focused. But there will be opportunities. I mean, there are opportunities on a daily basis. We run a daily editorial board for content creation, and we've been creating, we actually started it on the first day that we closed down our offices for the pandemic, and we run it, we've been creating content 7 days a week for the last 110 days. But, you know, we review the news, we look at social trends, we look at, you know, we're working with Google and looking at their analytics to create content based on what's happening today. So, for instance, you know, what are the big trends at the moment? Of, we know we're all going to have to wear masks in retail environments and other spaces. If you wear glasses and you wear a mask, it's really difficult because your glasses steam up. So what did we do yesterday? We sent, you know, all our social content was 5 hacks to, you know, wear a mask and glasses at the same time. And actually looking at the performance of our social post from yesterday with no spend behind it, it's been the most shared piece of content we've had over the last 100 days because it's helpful. So, you know, just the small things as well as, you know, the bigger things about things like, you know, changing media landscape, but that outward focus. The next one is call out when things aren't working and fix it fast. So let's not be laborious. Let's not have meetings about it. Let's empower people to call it out and have a trusted environment people can. But more importantly, they're empowered to fix things. The next one we've talked about, which is the motivating teams to take calculated risks. And point number 6 in our leadership kind of responsibilities is actively looking for opportunities to collaborate. More so than ever, actually. And not just amongst, you know, we have all our creative is done in-house. We have a creative department here. So the cross-collaboration with creative and marketing, with marketing and retail, with our partners in our stores, really finding ways and actively looking for ways that we can do things differently through collaboration. Number 7, make recognition a daily habit. We're not as good at it as we should be, I think, because everyone's running at 100 miles an hour. So at a time where people are learning to do things differently, they want reassurance, and there's no better reassurance than either peer or leader recognition. And the last one, which kind of takes us full circle to the beginning of this conversation, I suppose, is constantly question why people will follow you or should follow you. I find it so powerful, you know, because I can be academic about what leadership is, but my biggest responsibility as a leader is to the people who I have a responsibility for. And that responsibility means that everybody who I have care of, I want them to truly believe that they can trust the direction I'm taking the department in, or as my board membership, the business in, that they truly believe that I am empathetic and close to their individual requirements. And ultimately that people can come to work, be themselves and their best version of themselves, and contribute in a way that gives them the satisfaction of spending way too many hours working in our lifetime. So, you know, that idea of people having that trust in me and me being able to earn that trust is really, really important.
That's just wonderful. You've actually made me quite emotional listening to that. I'm so glad I reached out to you to have you to talk about leadership, because you spoke about people, you spoke about care, you spoke about motivating, you spoke about, you know, the role that work plays in their broader life. I think you're just an inspiration, Catherine, and thank you so much.
Oh, bless you.
On that note, I think there's a lot of people that will be listening to this thinking, Catherine Whitten, CMO, I'd love to know what one piece of advice she would give me, either as a marketeer or as someone who's aspiring to be a CMO or leader. What would that be? You can have two if you really want. Somebody else had two, but yeah.
The first one I would say is, it is never too early in your career. Even if you're on a grad program or, you know, a few years in, to demonstrate leadership traits. And I kind of said this at the beginning, which is, for me, leadership isn't about authority or seniority. It's about your ability to influence others and for a purpose or for a change. And, you know, when I look across all the teams I've had the pleasure of leading through my career, I've always been very focused on high potential. And the high potential isn't necessarily just about what has been achieved, but how it has been achieved. And I talk about the influences in my team. Whenever I'm new into a team, or I've inherited a team, or I'm growing a team, I spend time with my leaders talking to them about identifying the influences, because they're the people that are going to create the cultural environment that we want to. And they could be at any part of the organization. So I think often what I, you know, and the thing that really depresses me is when I talk to colleagues in my team, or I'm giving career advice or mentoring, a lot of the kind of, well, I think we should do blah, 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 but I can't do that. And I'm like, well, why can't you do that? It almost feels that people don't have permission. So take the permission yourself, and, you know, never back away. You know, if you go to your leader with a problem and that's all you go to them with, you're not going to get a huge amount of thanks. If you go with a problem and a suggested solution, even if they don't agree with it, they would admire you for taking that effort. If you go with that, of those two areas, and you take it, you suggest, I want to do X, Y, and Z to either fulfill this opportunity or, you know, tackle this issue. Again, for me, that is true leadership. And I can, right way through my career, I can still remember those people at every level of seniority in the team who have been those people who would take it upon themselves to identify an issue or an opportunity, come up with a solution, but put themselves forward to solve it. So that would be my first thing. And then the second thing I would say is, do not be afraid of creating a lateral career path. So, and what I mean by that is, people who are highly motivated and ambitious want to get to the top quickly, but you will have a much more interesting, fulfilling, and sustainable senior career if you have gained breadth along the way. And I've been incredibly fortunate in my career where I've had leaders who saw the potential in me that I hadn't seen myself, and given me very sizable shifts to the left and right to broaden my experience. So much so that they kind of scared me, but they saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And, you know, when I was at American Express, I spent 3 years heading up the P&L for all the consumer payments products. I didn't have P&L experience. I'd never done product management role, but that was one of the most powerful set of experiences, which was kind of lateral because it wasn't, you know, classically marketing driven. And then another time at Barclaycard, the CEO at the time asked me to co-create the payment innovation strategy with her. Again, you know, that wasn't my background, but those two lateral moves in my career, I think, have made me a better marketer and a better thought leader.
I agree. Breadth of experience, different application, just wonderful. Thank you so much, Catherine, for joining the Whole Marketeer podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, not at all. Thank you so much for asking me.
Thank you for tuning in to the Whole Marketeer podcast. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please do click follow below for more weekly podcasts. Thank you.